Welcome to Giant Swantown.
Great to be back in Giant Swantown. Liam Flanagan here, joined as always by Adam Curley. G'day, Curls.
G'day, Flanners. Good to be here.
Great to be here, and great that we actually get to talk about a win this week. Episode one last week, and we were talking about two losses, but thanks to the Sydney Swans' efforts, we do get to talk about a win. Now, before we get into it, Curls, something new we're going to be doing on Giant Swantown is just getting a sense of the mood in each part of Sydney from a song perspective.
Right, yeah, so, sounds good.
So you've given us a sense of what life is like in Sydney Swantown with a bit of this today. Feels pretty good in Sydney Swantown.
Yeah, well, it's a surprise after last week. Oh, maybe not a surprise, but as we spoke about last week, it's hard to pick these games, and we thought the way North Melbourne played last week that they'd be pretty hot favourites. But Sydney, as they always do when people write them off, came back hard.
Let's check how things are in out at Homebush, though. Because you had a bad day, you take one down, you sing a sad song. Yeah. Not quite the same feeling out there at the moment.
One of your favourites, obviously, out of your
wasn't hard
personal
to get,
playlist.
Wasn't hard to get that out of the playlist, mate. Pretty near the top. All right, let's get stuck into it. Friday night, the Giants travelled down to Melbourne to take on the Western Bulldogs, who at this stage were winless, and then this happened.
Hang on, there it is. It's on.
Okay, we're starting.
The ball's gone up the bottom belly. It's on. We picked it here at Triple M. They've gone high. They're coming from everywhere to go to Bond.
There you go.
They've got into the ground. There's some punches being thrown out there. Cordelia got involved.
Now there's more than niggles. There's 10, 12 players. There's fist flying. There's pushing. There's shoving. The umpires want to celebrate it. There's some heat in there now.
Spot fires all over. There's wrestles everywhere. Every player on the ground involved in this.
Liberatore, in the meantime, is going to have the set shot. He's got 15 Giants sledging him. You wait, he kicks it. Now it's on. The Dogs come from everywhere. And now it's on again. The Giants want to get involved.
Back on again.
Players are coming from everywhere. Nuts.
There's punches being thrown. Look at him.
In the end, a 24-point loss to the Western Bulldogs. The Giants only registering 4-9 for the entire game, Curls.
Yeah, there was a lot of huff and puff in those grabs, wasn't there? But unfortunately for the Giants, they didn't back it up once the ball was bounced. We always thought they'd go after Bond and Pelly at the first bounce, and it proved correct. But, yeah, they just didn't fire a shot. I mean, the really bizarre one for me was Nick Haynes taking the toss.
Let's break that down, Curls. I want your take on that. What did you make of it? It was so strange. For those that didn't see it, Stephen Cornelio, the captain, the standalone captain this year, and Nick Haynes get sent to toss the coin with Marcus Bontempelli.
Yeah, well, something I didn't really pick up watching the game to start with. I turned on a bit late, just got the first bounce, but obviously in reference to the clash between Bontempelli and Haynes last year at Spotless Stadium, Giant Stadium, sorry, that left Nick Haynes with a fractured bone in his larynx.
Fractured larynx, yeah.
Yeah, so missed a couple of weeks. And I know the Giants were not happy, even though I didn't think there was much in it. I think it was just a bit of unlucky contact. But they certainly went after him. And I think that was, it was just a bizarre one, sending him to the bounce. Obviously, Bontempelli's the new captain, so refused to shake his hand, all that sort of thing. And I don't know. I could understand why you'd go after Bontempelli physically when the game starts, but I think things like that, I reckon that you're just putting too much thought into upsetting the other team rather than doing your own thing. The physical stuff's fine, and once the ball bounced, you know, you get on and play footy, but yeah, that just seemed a bizarre one from the outset.
I liken it to the Crows' Power Ranger stance in the grand final, again, against the Western Bulldogs. I understand.
Great call.
I understand the thinking behind it. I do understand. I can completely see the conversation that Leon or Stephen Cornelio or whoever has had to arrive at the decision to send Nick Haynes to toss the coin. And it's easy to poke fun at it because of the result of the game. But I completely agree with you, Curls. I just think it shows that they're putting maybe a little bit too much thought into the opposition when at the moment they're just not playing their best football.
Yeah, you're spot on. I mean, the Power Ranger stuff and all that's all fine, well and good. And, I mean, if the Giants had won, then we might have, I don't know, even if they'd won, I'd just think it was still pretty bizarre. Like, go after him when the ball's there and have a crack. But when they don't back that up with, I mean, they lost the contested possession and tackles. I think the tackles were under 40 for the game. If you're not going to back it up, I don't know. It just reeks of a bit of, not desperation, but there's just thinking of too many other things rather than let's play our best brand of footy.
Yeah, well, we know when the Giants cop a loss and are physically dominated like they were on Friday night that we get honest Leon at the presser. Let's see how he went after the game.
I'm not going to lie here. We're clearly we're out of form a bit. Haven't returned in the manner that we wanted to. You know, credit to the Bulldogs. I mean, they stifled our ball movement. They were clearly cleaner around the contest, and they just played a high intensity brand that I thought we were in it for parts, but we're sort of like we're always hanging on for dear life. So we didn't get any rhythm. Yeah, our number of our players are clearly not in the form that we'd like them to be in.
Honest Leon back.
Yeah, he has to be, doesn't he? And I think the interesting thing there is he's talking about they're out of form, but I don't think you need to be in form to hunt the man and get in first and get the footy and crash packs and that sort of stuff. I just don't see him doing that. Like, as we spoke about last year, the way they rectified that, their final series was some of the hardest footy I've ever seen from any team in my time covering footy, but just none of that's there. I mean, Callum Ward and Stephen Cornelio and Jacob Hopper and Harry Perryman and these guys are playing decent footy, but they're not manic and hungry and just don't seem to be animalistic like they were last year. Mm. And I think that's the issue.
Yeah, I agree. And look, last year they showed that at their best they are just a highly skilled, fast-flowing footy side who, when Taranto's fit and Hopper's playing well and Cowell, they can bash on with the best of them inside, as you said. But what I think they tried to do a bit yesterday is they're guilty of trying to show their opponents that they can be physical instead of just being physical when they need to be. You know, it's kind of like a, hey, we can be physical, rather than last year when they were at their best, is they were playing their football. And when the hard footy was there to be won, they had the players to go and win it.
Yeah, absolutely agree. And I think, like we said, it's all good to huff and puff and go after Bontempelli before the balls bounce. But it just seems like a waste of time if you're not going to do that once the ball's there to be won, you know what I mean? So, I mean, Bontempelli didn't set the world on fire and they did an okay job on him, but it was just around the other players that they let go. And obviously missing some players. Josh Kelly was a late out and Lachie Whitfield was ruled out of the game with concussion
after he
copped a heavy knock. So they obviously lost a lot of run. But, I mean, Zach Williams is still there. Cornelio's still there. They've still got a lot of dashing players. And it just doesn't seem like there's that run and carry and dash and waves of Giants coming forward that we're used to.
Yeah, the orange tsunami. Look, if they want to find excuses, they could, but I don't think Leon Cameron will want that, and I can imagine that it'll be a pretty close self-examination that happens this week. Very quickly, Lachie Ash, your thoughts on his first game as a Giant?
Yeah, really good. I mean, he didn't get a lot of possessions and didn't set the world on fire, and probably not a game that he's going to put on his highlight reel, but he'd look really comfortable at the level. Tough game to come into, obviously. No crowd and all that sort of thing, but he'll get used to that. And I think he's one that they should just keep in the team now. He gives them a bit of flexibility. Can use Williams in other roles and Whitfield in other roles from half back. So I think they should persevere with him. I think he's going to be a gun.
Yeah, he's a good size too. At one point I think he was matched up against Bontempelli and first year player didn't look undersized, which is important. It doesn't get any easier for the Giants, so they take on one of the two form sides of the competition next week in Collingwood.
Yeah, well, maybe it's what they need. Collingwood, we saw the sort of game they put on in last year's prelim against the Pies, and hopefully if Josh Kelly's right, if Toby Green's right, if Lachie Whitfield's right, they've pretty much got a full team, if not counting Taranto and Adam Kennedy. So a couple of those would be massive inclusions, Toby Green especially, because their forward line's impotent at the moment. And he'd be a great inclusion. So I think get back home, forget the first couple of weeks and just concentrate on the Pies and what they can do.
All right, before we head to the Moore Park precinct to talk about the Swans win over the Kangaroos, we need to give out the votes for the Lamb Mumford medallion, a.k.a. the Lamb Sausage. I gave 3 votes to Harry Perryman. Despite the results going against the club, he's actually having a great start to 2020. I gave 2 votes to the skipper, Stephen Cornelio. Although I'd love to see Cogs just let a bit of the physical stuff go and do what he does best, which is hurt teams with the footy. And I gave 1 vote to Nick Haynes, who was his usual intercepting great herself down in defence. All right, let's get along to Moore Park Precinct, where Saturday afternoon down in Melbourne, the Sydney Swans managed to get this done over the North Melbourne Kangaroos.
Dawson unloads from 52. Wonderful finish by Dawson, who's had plenty of the footy early. Skillful player hooks it around the corner. It is another one from the Swans. They're skipping away now. Oh, gee whiz, that's a fly on the outer side. Heaney, possibly with the last kick of the match. There's the siren. Well done to the Swans. They get the job done over the Kangaroos by 11 points.
11-point win in the end, Curls, and another slow start. John Longmire, that's the one issue he's got to address out of this weekend, isn't it?
I think he needs to chuck a bit more Powerade in the pre-game water or something just to get a few more jelly babies or something. But when Big Ben Brown kicked the first couple, we thought, oh, my God, this could be a long day. But to their credit, they just knuckled down and just played really good Swans footy. And they're going to, as we said last week, they're going to cause some upsets this year. They're never going to get blown away. And when they can get their noses in front, the Kangaroos came back really well a couple of times, but they just responded again and again, and John Longmire would have to be wrapped with that win.
Let's have a listen to what Horse had to say in the post-match presser.
I mean, North have been going really well and have been competing really hard, so we knew what we were to expect when we came into the game, and we knew we'd have to be right up in those areas, and the third quarter was probably as good a pressure football as and, you know, that was at a really high level for us, and everything else is built off the back of that.
The youngsters really, they shifted gears in that second quarter, and then as Horse mentioned there, that third term, you can see the style that they want to play with the list they now have.
Yeah, he's always high on that pressure footy and then build everything off it. When they do that, the likes of Florent and Jordan Dawson off halfback can really use their foot skills and get on the end of it. So he would have been wrapped with that. Mm. Jordan Dawson has been a revelation the last year and a bit, and Florent continues to do what he does, and they're managing to kick goals without Franklin and Reed again. So, they're sort of working all over the park really well.
The player for mine, and I know you're going to give the votes for this one, double votes because it's a win, which is exciting, but the player for mine that I noticed the greatest difference from last week's loss to the Bombers to this game, Will Haywood. He just seemed energised. He seemed switched on. Saturday afternoon, he was intent. There was a moment where, some might say a bit cheekily, he gave one to Jasper Pittard over the boundary line, but he seemed energised, and there was a huge gap between his performance last week and what he delivered on Saturday.
Yeah, he's a really important player for them. I was lucky enough to go up to Coffs Harbour for their pre-season camp, and he was one that really stood out to me. He just put on size, and he was in the tackling drills and just working himself to the point where he's throwing up, and I thought, geez, he's in for a massive year. So the COVID break might not have suited him too well. He might have blown up a bit. I'm not too sure, but you're right. When he can bring a bit of aggression and a bit of cheekiness and loves a goal and just combines beautifully with Papley and the other smalls down there. So when he's up and in form, the Swans are going well.
The one potential concern for the Swannies out of the game came late in the fourth quarter, where Tommy McCartan, just in a pack marking situation, took the grab, and then as he crashed forward, Robbie Tarrant sort of got into the back of him. Nothing malicious in it, but McCartan's head contacted the turf, and he looked pretty badly concussed. Left the ground, obviously didn't return, but I'm sure the Swans will be monitoring it and doing everything right by him. But given what's happened with his older brother Paddy at St Kilda, maybe a little bit of a cause for concern there.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that works because, as you said, it wasn't much in it. Just head hit the turf and he was out like a light. So when they go out like that, you'd be pretty shocked if he played this week. Obviously, he'll do all the tests, and if he's fine and fit, then he'll play. But it just didn't look great. And with the concussion, the way it is these days, they'll be pretty conservative. With his brother's history, I'm not sure how that works with families, but I'm sure it would have been a pretty shocking incident for his parents and family. Yeah. But let's hope for him he's all good and can get up.
You've got to give the votes out for the Lamb Mumford medallion, a.k.a. the Lamb Sausage. Double votes here, Curls.
Double banger. That's a lot of pressure. I better get these right then.
So this is, you've got 6, 4, and 2 votes to give out.
Well, I'll give 2 votes as it is, and I think he deserves more than one for the job he did. George Hewitt,
yes.
We spoke about how damaging Sean Higgins was against the Giants last week, and I think he kept him to 11 possessions. So when he locks down on you, it's going to be a tough afternoon. It's always a good one to look out for at the centre bounce where George Hewitt is.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was fantastic. Two votes I gave to Josh Kennedy, or four votes.
Yes.
The co-skipper was outstanding again in close. Never changes. Style never changes. He's always hungry and in under and gets the ball out. And six votes, as it is, goes to Isaac Heaney for his marking performance. Only kicked the one goal, probably missed a couple he should have got. Could have ended up with three or four, but I thought he was outstanding and best on ground.
But to reflect just how impactful these double votes are, Isaac Heaney is now a clear leader in the Lamb Mumford medallion. He's on six, two clear of Josh Kennedy on four, and then you've got Nick Haynes, Lockie Whitfield and Luke Parker all on three votes.
It's a big reward.
Big
winning games. Winning games isn't just good for your footy club, it's good for your individual accolades.
Hey, Curls, before we wrap things up, the Sydney Swans next weekend. This is what I love about the competition in these early stages. We've really got no idea. I think outside of Collingwood and Port Adelaide, we actually don't know how good everybody is. But we get a great indicator this Thursday night when the Swans take on the Bulldogs on a short turnaround.
Yeah, it's a massive game, isn't it? Coming off a win after both were struggling a bit on a Thursday night, should be a massive game. So we'll just see who is a bit more genuine. If you're winning a couple in a row, you can sort of see the good sides, you know, start to pull away. So it's a massive game.
Huge game. Just quickly, your tip for obviously Tommy McCartan, if we presume that they sit him for the week, do you think Justin McInerney gets his spot? He was probably a bit stiff to get dropped for the game in the first place.
They don't really have another tall that I can think of that could come in unless Lewis Malekin comes in and goes back and they use one of the tall defenders to go forward or decide to go smaller in the forward line. I think McInerney or Ben Ronk, if he's available, one of those two could definitely come in, I'd say.
All right, there we go. Giants Swan Town for another week. Well done to the Swannies. We expect to see the Giants bounce back this weekend against Collingwood. Adam Curley, enjoy the rest of your day, and I'll speak to you next week.
You too. Sounds good. Talk to you then, mate.